Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Denver Nuggets tonight, the rematch from 2 weeks ago. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Let's do this first, because you and I know, or we've had conversations on the air and off the air about David Fizdale, and I think it's safe to say we're both significant fans of this guy, and we've been through this a lot now in 7 years, where a colleague loses his job, and there's always the same things to say, sometimes it's different, but this one to me just has a particular sting to it because of, again, maybe it's just a personal thing of what a fan I am of this guy.
Yeah, and you know, obviously just being there, we've seen them play well against us for 11 quarters this year, you know, and really the only time that it got away from was in the fourth quarter of the first game. And I was texting with him a little bit earlier. You know, I always think first and foremost about him and his family and everybody else that's involved. We all realize that, you know, when you get into this, that outcome is probably inevitable. But just want to make sure that he knows how much I think of him, and I think that everybody shares that sentiment. Everybody knows that he's a really good coach, and, you know, situation's a situation.
In your line of work, does when this happens to a colleague, is there a moment of that mortality that lives within your profession? Do you take a minute when this happens to a colleague to sort of realize just how fragile this job is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just know. Like, yeah, it's just part of it, and one of the things that we always try to do is, and I always try to do, is get together with some coaches that are no longer employed in the summer. And I always get a lot out of that. And because guys are just so interested in just talking shop, you know, and talking not only about basketball from a technical point of view, but also from a management point of view. And I think it's a little bit more unfiltered than when you probably have a job. And but it is amazing how good a lot of people that don't have coaching jobs are. And, you know, that same thing with assistants that have never had the chance to be a head coach, and people that have never had a chance to move up if they wanted to college or the pros or whatever. There's just a lot of good coaches out there, and I think you recognize that. You recognize you're fortunate to have one of these 30 jobs, and you also recognize that, you know, it ain't going to last forever.
Wednesday night, you talked about how they asked you what was the difference in the second quarter. You said, well, we were playing hard in the second quarter. And it's funny, because the way Max and I kind of saw it was Miami came out very strong. I'm picking up where they left off the night before in Toronto, and that it was, they were hitting a lot of tough shots, and that it really was an effort that we thought lasted all four quarters, that just hanging in under that early barrage was a good effort. I mean, either way, coming from behind and kind of holding on to the rope is what I thought the theme was the other night. Is that fair?
Yeah, I thought we did a really good job in the last three quarters. I just thought the first quarter we were slow to the ball. Now, I was playing some unique lineups and things like that, and I didn't help us. But once we settled down, we shortened our bench a little bit, and the guys that played the rest of the game, I thought, played exceptionally well. And I thought that, you know, it started on the defensive end. There were a couple of clips. We've had more in 20 games. We've had more great defensive clips than we did in 82 last year. It's just been, our guys have really done a good job. We haven't had a full 48 yet where we played the full 48. But if you talk about, like, totality of the season, we've already really played some great defensive clips. And the other night we had some that, you know, that we'll be showing next summer to our summer league team. We were flying around. We were covering for one another. Everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. And when one person went down for whatever reason or was out of place, we picked them up.
I would imagine that Shemmy was in quite a few of those clips.
He was in a couple of them, that's for sure. I mean, he was a central player in some of them, but he was also just a guy doing his job in a lot of others, which is great. That's what we want. But, you know, he's added a lot of good stuff to our team the whole time he's been here. When he's played minutes, we've always been pretty good. Obviously, there's a lot of guys to play and a lot of guys that are all battling for that time. But you get beyond our top five guys, and I feel pretty darn comfortable with Shemmy out there.
Well, defense will be the theme then tonight, because this is the number one defensive team in the NBA on the other side. You look at their roster and their size and their length. It's obviously not a coincidence. They're also tremendous. The degree to which they are defending the three compared to the rest of the league is pretty staggering. What makes up a good team defending the three, which is obviously so important now?
Well, they put ball pressure on, they mix up their pick-and-roll coverages, and they really overhelp in a lot of ways, and then they fly out to shooters. And on top of all that, they're extremely versatile. You know, I thought we talked about it. I don't know if you and I talked about it, but I think I talked about it when we were in Denver with somebody, that Jeremy Grant was a huge pickup.
Yep.
Because he just gives them so much more versatility off the bench. And now you got Beasley back. They're just athletic at four positions. Jokic probably doesn't get enough credit for how quickly he moves, but also obviously how quickly he thinks. And so he just changes up coverages all game. He puts you on your heels. He's thinking the game on defense just like he thinks it on offense with his passing.
If it works, is it not over-helping then? Isn't it just regular helping?
Regular helping. That's a good point.
Used that term earlier, yeah. Over-helping, and it made me think, well, if it works, it's not over-help. It's like if you're over-indulging.
You know what I've always thought, and Coach Licklider, who was who I worked for 6 years at Butler, used to say, you have to give the impression that you're somewhere, and then you have to be back and take care of yours. And that's what they give you, the impression they're everywhere. And, you know, obviously that takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of stunting. It takes a lot of faking and recovering. You know, it's called helping recover for a reason, and they're awfully good at it.
That's the head coach. There is
That was boring. Why are we talking about that?
I don't agree. I thought I jazzed it up with the overhelping thing because it was a basketball thing that's important in the context of the game tonight, and yet you throw in a little entertainment value and you get a little something extra.
Have you ever been accused of being an overhelper?
Almost never.
Almost never.
Almost never.
When was the one time?
I'd have to think. Well, I think that together you and I have helped make this segment the star attraction that it is.
We certainly haven't overhelped it.
No, we haven't. More thing I want to hit you on.
I think you could be a part of overhelping with somebody else, but this is kind of all coming back to a coach's mortality that I'm a little concerned about.
You should.
I'm just going to shut up now and let you ask this last question, which I'm sure will be a great one.
Well, it is going to be. Well, it's a different one because any of us connected to the Boston Celtics as an organization take pride in the fact that the Shamrock Foundation, the community outreach, is on par or above most other professional sports organizations in the world. But there is one day a year in which I feel we get more back than we give, and that is the day you spend at Children's Hospital.
Now you just went from, like, you know, we were just...
That's what we do.
...riffing to actual, like, real emotional stuff that matters.
We squeeze it all in this little segment.
Yeah. Wonderful day. Highlight of the year for me every year. Could have stayed there longer. Got to visit a ton of rooms after we did the party that everybody showed online, where we sang and everything else. But inspiring kids, inspiring families, inspiring people working on solutions to help those kids live a normal life. And so hats off to Children's. We are just happy we get to go over there.
No such thing as overhelping there.
We were overhelped. We did not do the overhelping there.
Celtics and the Nuggets next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.